need you for more than your pretty face after this is through. Jonas gave Nat a curious look. Nat rolled her eyes. You doof, you haven't proposed yet. I expect a nice little ceremony when this is all over, Nat scolded.
I'm not sure this is how it's supposed to work, Jonas muttered.
Tough, Fiora said as she appeared, giving him no sympathy. You need to man up, Jonas. Do you know what Nick would have done to you if he was here and found out you were seeing his sister without proposing? Jonas paled. The other adventurers joined in the laughter, pelting Jonas with taunts and advice. The mood lightened considerably, and everyone felt a bit better as they watched the army swarm toward them. Priest Horus and Priest Henry appeared next to Mary and Orso.
While we cannot compare to Father Jonas in terms of strength, we will offer as much support as we can, Horus vowed.
Forcus and Stevens also appeared, each holding weapons as they glared at the demons.
How dare they use Helen like that, Forcus said angrily.
As our rival and friend, it is our duty to get justice for her, Stevens agreed.
Come on, lads,
Hamish the miner raised his pickaxe.
Little Millie did her best. Now it's our turn to protect her.
Behind him, Henry, Johann, and the other patrons of the tavern raised their war cries. The demon army spread out across the roads, ruining the elven homes as they rampaged. Mary and her group were lined up in front of the celebratory square, directly in front of the great tree. The townspeople were all gathered on the other side, facing the forest exit.
Raise your weapons, Mary called out.
Behind her, the receptionists each changed back into massive blood swords. Everyone prepared to fight.
Wait,
Priest Henry said suddenly, his eyes wide.
I'm receiving a divine message.
I am too,
Horus announced, equally startled. He folded his hands in prayer and concentrated.
You're goddess of the woods. We must retreat to the tree, the two priests announced.
Everyone looked to Mary. Mary pursed her lips.
All right, everyone, retreat. If there is a miracle coming, we'd best be there to witness it.
The army quickly folded back and ran toward the great tree, the demon and fleshling army right behind them.
Faster, lads,
Hamish called.
The beasties are gaining on us.
Mary, we won't make it at this rate, Orso warned, eyeing the retreating army. The gods will provide, Horus said solemnly. Right behind them, the ground glowed white, and a mass of slimes came into being. They rushed back, engaging the demons in a surprising counterattack. The infernal slimes cut their way through their lines, giving time for the humans and elves to retreat.
The dungeon?
Orso asked incredulously.
Don't question it, just keep moving, Mary ordered.
Doc watched the adventurers retreat and nodded to himself.
We've done our part, he murmured,
turning his attention back to the army. Doc metaphysically cracked his knuckles.
All right, let's see if I can unlock some new slimes.
The army made it to the front of the holy tree, the townspeople also having moved there under the orders of the priests protecting them.
Anything from the gods? Mary asked Horus.
And the entire holy tree erupted in white light. A doorway appeared, covering the entire trunk's bottom. It opened, revealing an old friend.
People of Nahatra, Father Jonas cried out. Hurry, this way!
With cries and tears of joy, the townspeople ran into the door of light.
Father Jonas, you made it, Mary cried out. Barely, but by the grace of the gods I did, Jonas nodded. However, this doorway is fading fast. Once the mother tree dies, then so does the magic that connects it to the elves' tree. We must hurry.
Mary whistled and called out.
Hurry up! The door is fading!
The adventurers helped carry the wounded into the light, including the rescued generals and Prince James.
Let's go, Millie, Fred said to his awoken daughter.
Where's Rowan?
Millie asked suddenly. Mary heard her and turned, but the boy was nowhere to be found.
Rowan!
Millie cried out. Father Jonas glanced up at the door. The light was quickly starting to fade. Almost everyone had entered the door.
Master Mary, he warned.
Rowan!
Millie lit up, spying her friend approaching. Her face quickly sank as she saw the state he was in. Rowan's body had not been properly healed. His gut appeared hollow, and he stank of decay as the poison consumed his flesh. The young boy shook his head.
Sorry, Millie, but it looks like this is the end, he said sadly. No, come with us. There are healers on the other side, Millie pleaded. I'm only conscious now, thanks to my magic, Rowan said ruefully. And my undead magic only works on dead bodies. Millie, there was a strong curse mixed in, a curse no healer can cure. Do you understand? No, Millie whispered.
Mary closed her eyes.
Hey, don't cry, Rowan comforted her. Remember, even if I pass here, I won't be gone long. My special connection, after all. But we were supposed to be engaged, Millie whispered.
Fred twitched at this sudden bit of news, but forced himself to relax. He picked Millie up and bowed to Rowan. Little Rowan, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for coming into our lives, Fred said seriously.
Thank you for the lessons, Fred. You too, Mary. If you would, pass on my thanks to Master Gannis as well, Rowan beseeched.
Mary nodded.
I will. Take care, you and Anodyne.
She walked through the barrier with Father Jonas, leaving only the trio behind.
I'll come find you, Millie promised. I'll find a way to free you.
Fred shook his head and began walking toward the fading light.
Rowan, do you hear me?
Millie screamed, tears streaming down her face.
You belong to me and me alone. I won't let anything else have you. I'll be waiting.
Rowan smiled. As the two final humans disappeared from the town, Rowan closed his eyes. He released his magic and collapsed on the ground. The poison curse moved swiftly, leaving only a pile of bones facing the withered tree. Epilogue.
So, Rowan, what do you think of your new body? Doc asked carefully.
Rowan locked a fierce glare onto Doc's crystal.
Do you really have to ask? What in the world am I?
Rowan, who had always experienced his dungeon body to be that of a lich, had found himself in what could be considered an oddity. While resembling a lich, complete with actual robes that covered most of his body, Rowan's bones were all made of bone-white slime. Worse still, they felt like squashy bones, sending a shiver up Rowan's spine every time he poked himself.
A slime lich? Or a lich slime? I don't like what I am right now, Rowan declared crossly. Poke, Claire giggled, sticking her finger into Rowan's skull.
Rowan tried to swat her away, but the pixie effortlessly dodged his hand and continued to poke him like a mosquito.
Cheer up, Rowan,
Anodyne smiled, wrapping a slime tentacle around the new monster.
Now you're a slimish person like I am. You can call me your big sister.
Rowan slumped, suddenly depressed.
I've heard that line before. You'll see her again someday, Claire promised, settling herself onto her pedestal. After all, with her strength, she is sure to grow into a powerhouse someday. Maybe she can become a slime person like Anodyne. I'm not sure how I'd feel about that, Rowan grimaced.
Suddenly, Rowan's body collapsed into a large, bone-white slime.
Not again,
he wailed, wiggling his body worthlessly. Anodyne and Claire laughed as the boy struggled to take his lich shape again.
Papa,
Aisha spoke up from the corner where she and her sister had been resting.
As much fun as this is, shouldn't we do something about the demon army?
I almost forgot about them, Doc remembered. Let's see what they're up to.
He peeked outside his dungeon.
Oh, looks like they're preparing to invade us. And there are a lot of big demons.
Do you feel the goddess's gift, Doc? Claire asked.
Yes, Doc exclaimed. It seems that this ability will teleport the dungeon wherever we want, so long as I provide the mana needed to take us there. Any ideas?
We can follow the townspeople, Rowan exclaimed.
I'm not sure that is wise, Anodyne cautioned.
If we appear suddenly in a populated area, we could start a panic.
We need to decide fast, Claire said, pointing at the image on Doc's crystal.
Those demons are really charging fast. We need to go now, Doc!
Teleport, Doc mumbled. Take us as far away as possible from the demons.
Doc, wait, that's too...
In a sudden flash, the dungeon entrance vanished. With it, however, came the structures closest to the dungeon tunnels in the town. Interestingly, this sudden change caused an implosion of magical energy that surged out, momentarily leaving a magical dead zone. The world reacted immediately, and the dead zone was eliminated by an implosion of mana that destroyed the Empire's warlock army and all their minions. When the dust settled, the only thing left was the singed and broken remains of the town. Massive trenches connected craters in the town to the giant crater where the dungeon once stood. From one such crater, a slime emerged. It moved swiftly toward the forest, and all was left silent. Millie checked her room one more time with her light, making sure nothing was spying on her. Before her, Mr. Bubbles was surrounded by her daggers. Millie began her ritual as her mind flashed back. After the Flesh Dragon Battle. The two teens had made it back to the tavern and were resting in Millie's room. Millie rolled over to stare at Rowan.
Hey, she asked, what did the monster mean when he said you were part of the dungeon?
Rowan flinched.
Nothing in particular. He must have thought my sympathy was a sign of being an adventurer, is all.
Is that so? She grinned at him in the dark.
Well, what about that large red and orange tentacle you watched take the monster's body away? Know anything about that?
No,
Rowan squeaked. Millie giggled and giggled and giggled. Finally, she sat up and gazed at him with some affection.
Hey, want to know a cool secret about me? She asked.
Rowan, thankful for the change in topic, said,
Sure.
Millie turned and pulled out the skull Rowan had returned to her. She stared at it with a hint of a smile.
Want to talk to it? She asked him.
Mr. Bubbles can talk? Rowan asked in amazement.
No, silly Rowan, Mr. Bubbles can't talk, she laughed at him. She uses him to talk.
Millie tossed the skull to Rowan, who looked down curiously. A red glow appeared deep in the skull's eyes.
Hello there, Rowan, a sweet voice echoed in Rowan's mind. It is a pleasure to meet you after hearing so much about you.
Rowan winced at the power contained in the voice.
Who are you?
The voice seemed to chuckle.
I have many names, Rowan, but you may call me Temptra.
Rowan felt his mouth go dry as he considered what he had just heard. He took a moment to scratch his head and look around, as if searching for someone to jump out and declare the entire affair a joke. Failing that, he locked eyes with the skull.
Temptra, as in the goddess Temptra, mistress of desire, he asked carefully. Also known as the Formless One, honorary leader of the Lust Demons, and many other names, Millie confirmed with a nod of her head. Master Mary was right. I am a chosen of Temptra. Cute as your disbelief may be, I neither have the time nor willingness to allow you to calm down,
Temptra spoke up from the skull.
It takes a small bit of power to shield my presence here from your dungeon and others, and unlike my siblings, I do not enjoy tempting fate with wanton intervention unless the mood strikes me.
Then why are you here? Rowan asked.
The skull glowed for a moment, prompting Millie to speak up.
Rowan, she said quickly, you need to be more respectful when addressing her.
Rowan gave Millie a frown.
She's no goddess of mine. My studies didn't include Temptra as a goddess, and the gods allowed my home to be destroyed. Please, Rowan, for me, Millie begged.
Rowan's frown grew,
but he reluctantly nodded to her. He stood up and bowed deeply to the skull. "I, Prince Rowan, greet the goddess Temtra, and humbly ask the reasons for her visit." The skull giggled, a disturbing sound as the teeth chattered as well. "Yes, you are a cute one, aren't you? I am here for two reasons. I am here in an official capacity to warn my chosen and prepare her for the challenges ahead." "Thank you, goddess," Millie bowed her head. Before Rowan could open his mouth, Temtra interrupted him. "Do not ask me questions about this, little necromancer. You will learn of these matters later. For now, listen to me, Millie."
The skull's eye holes began to glow brighter and brighter until the wall was covered in red light. There, the shadow of a shapely woman appeared with red spots for eyes. She pointed with a shadowy arm at Millie.
"Millie, my chosen of the desire to protect, I have come to tell you of the trials ahead. In the coming days, your power will be needed to protect not only your loved ones, but also your way of life. Find a teacher to help you unlock your true power as a chosen, and I task you to find a way to increase the strength of your weapon, the throwing knife. When these are done, you shall face those who wield my power. Overcome them, and I shall grant you what you most desire."
When she finished speaking, the light faded away, back to a dull glow from the skull.
"Ah, that was fun," the skull disturbingly giggled again.
Millie got on her hands and knees to bow to the skull.
"I shall follow your wishes, goddess." "No, Millie, do not follow my wishes. I am the goddess of desire, and I say to you, the best way to follow me is to obey your own desires," the voice from the skull lectured.
Millie bowed lower.
"Yes, goddess."
Rowan cleared his throat.
"Forgive me, goddess, but what was the other matter you came here for?"
"You," the skull declared.
"Me?"
Rowan asked in confusion.
"Yes, you see, Rowan, I have come to offer you the opportunity to become one of my chosen, like Millie. I can feel them in you, Rowan, your strong desires. You want to see your kingdom return to power, don't you? You want to see your family again. You want to keep Millie safe, and you want to repay the debt to the dungeon for saving you. There is so much desire in you. It's invigorating to behold."
The skull seemed to shudder at her words. A red ball suddenly blossomed in front of Rowan. He watched it as it slowly transformed into a long, black metal staff with four skulls at the top. He could sense the power coming from the weapon.
"If you swear your allegiance to me, I shall grant you the power and direction to fulfill your wishes. This staff will help you become a master necromancer, capable of raising both your family and kingdom from the dead. Their souls will return alongside everyone else who has died here. You shall rule a land of everlasting life, and Millie shall stay with you as well."
"Goddess?" Millie gasped in embarrassment. She turned red and avoided Rowan's gaze. Rowan stared at the staff, feeling the pull of power that it emanated.
"Are you promising those things will happen?"
he asked Temtra.
"Silly boy, deities are forbidden from directly interfering in this world, except in special circumstances. I can give you boons and direction, so long as you complete my tasks, but everything you want can only be taken by your own hand. Only demons promise easy effort, and they twist words and meanings. Do you accept?"
Rowan looked for a long while before he shook his head.
"Apologies, Goddess Temtra, but I cannot accept your offer," he said, while shaking his head.
"Why, do you not wish for Millie to be near you?" Temtra pressed. Rowan saw Millie's saddening face out of the corner of his eye.
"No, I will protect Millie with all my strength. I just do not wish to fall into desire and lose my morals and ethics. Are you saying I lack morals or ethics?
Temptra's voice turned ice cold, and the two teens shivered as the temperature fell in the room.
Don't you? Rowan said in a shaking voice.
As soon as it came, the cold disappeared.
That's completely correct, Temptra said cheerfully. I support heroes and demons, murderers and soldiers, the poor and the rich, and everyone in between. Even now, my lover's chosen uses the Empire to conquer, and some of my followers help him in this very country. Nothing makes me happier than seeing my chosen fighting for their own definition of righteousness. If you have no desire to serve me, then I will not press you to obey. That is not my nature.
The skull began to crack and fracture.
It appears that our time is at an end. Millie, in the future, you must travel to one of my shrines to commune with me, unless you complete my tasks. Rowan, it was a pleasure to meet you, even if you are going to forget this entire conversation.
Wait, Rowan began, before he fainted onto the floor.
Millie cried out and moved toward him, but stopped when Temptra called to her. He is in no danger, child. I have just erased his memory of these last few minutes. As he is not a chosen, he cannot be allowed to remember any interaction he had with me. Sweet Millie, remember that with which I have charged you. Learn to wield your power properly and fulfill your tasks sooner rather than later. Live with my blessing.
When she finished speaking, the skull turned to dust and vanished, leaving Millie in the room with her thoughts. Millie completed her chant, and the daggers shot into the skull, impaling themselves in it. Mr. Bubbles lit up and shattered, unleashing a familiar red shadow onto the wall in front of Millie.
I have completed your tasks, Millie bowed humbly. Well done, my chosen, the shadow of Temptra praised. For one so young, you have accomplished much and properly followed my teachings. Mistress of Desire, I have called you here because of what I promised you, Temptra finished. Yes, I did say that to you. Alas, I cannot give you what you truly want.
Millie stared unbelievingly at her patron goddess.
My child, this hurts me more than you know, Temptra continued. However, to free the one you know as Rowan from the dungeon is beyond the power of my portfolio as a goddess right now. The ones you faced, the Succubi sisters, they told you the truth. They were once my followers, like their master. With this incident coming to light, many other worshippers have turned away. My church lacks everything now, save only you, dear child. If not for you, I would slowly begin fading away as a goddess. But if your church were to be rebuilt, then you could follow your promise, Millie's eyes lit up in hope.
The shadow hesitated.
If my church were restored and I had enough power, then I could grant you the wish you deserve. However, I would require much from you and have little to offer in return. I may be the Mistress of Desire, but I neither force my will on others nor give petty rewards to those deserving. My lady, my will is great, Millie declared resolutely. I will restore the grandeur of your church. Until the day that your full strength is restored, that shall be my main desire. All I ask is that you help my people as they strive toward restoring their country. Not only will it restore faith in you, but it will be easier to found a great church there, dedicated only to you. Yes, Temptra murmured. I can see it. Young Millie, I promise you that I shall help you any way I can, within the limits placed on me by the world and my strength. However, I shall grant you a token of your full wish.
The shadow disappeared, and within the circle, a full set of bones appeared. Millie's smile widened as she caressed the skeleton, cooing to it as she began her plans.
Wait for me, Rowan. My friend. My love. We shall be together forever.
Michelle and Nilda trembled on the stone floor, their bodies bleeding from numerous injuries.
So, a voice came from the throne above them, making them wince. Not only did you fail to bring me the Chosen, my wife, and my child, you also allowed them to escape. The revelation over our activities has spread so far, even the Emperor has heard. Do you understand how troublesome the situation is?
We are sorry, my lord, Michelle begged. We couldn't defeat the incarnation of a goddess.
Excuses. You had the girl. The voice continued as evenly as before. You had my daughter. Even without my wife, you could have brought them to me instead of playing with your food. You also had Alfred killed. It will be some time before his method of creating the fleshlings is rediscovered. And finally, the massive amount of casualties from that explosion have decimated our ranks. Do you know how long and hard it is to create an army of warlocks? At this, the two succubi sisters screamed as invisible edges cut open their skin. Because of your failure, the voice turned harsh. The Emperor has discovered the plan. Our battle has devolved into a civil war, splitting the mighty empire. The derailment of my plans, the loss of Temptra's blessing. How can you two make up for it? The sisters continued to beg and plead as the invisible knives dug in deeper. The man on the throne wrapped his fingers against the armrest. With the first plan in shambles, it appears that I'll have to place the second plan into action now, he muttered to the wind. Shame, but it appears that we'll have to go underground for a time. Brushing his red hair aside, Erikir glanced down at the sisters and waved his hand. They fell, gasping as their bodies began to recover. I am disappointed in your failures, Erikir decided. But you both did overthrow most of the country and set other parts in motion. Considering you both have accepted my gift, I shall grant you another chance.
Thank you, Master. We praise you, Master, the sisters groveled.
If I can't get hold of a goddess, then perhaps what I need is the opposite. You girls always wanted to be demons, right? Before the sisters could respond, their heads fell to the floor. Erikir beckoned with his index and middle fingers, and two spirits arose from the bodies. Good luck rising through the ranks of demons, he smiled at the girls, whose spirits were half covered by his image. And congratulations. You're finally true succubi. In a forest far away, a cave entrance suddenly appeared. All was quiet for a moment, before the cave wailed.
No! My power! Doc, you fool! What have you done?
In the distance, a scaled and furry figure peered out from behind a stone. It examined the new cave with interest. Its reptilian eyes glistened in the moonlight. This concludes The Dungeon's Burden by Jeffrey Falcon Logue. Narrated by Ryan Turner. Copyright 2017, Jeffrey Falcon Logue. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Jeffrey Falcon Logue and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.